It is added.
Okay.
Do you want that?
You have that, right?
Okay.
I've got HR follow-up can come off that. That's a leftover item from previous agenda. Do you have anything on the, is the passive grant? You have some action on that?
I don't necessarily, although somebody was going to talk to the library, and I don't know if that's been done, so I was kind of holding off until.
Do we have any updates or actions on that, the passive grant for the, I don't, no.
I can contact the library myself.
Let's strike that as well, but
Scott, just a quick question on HR. Have we gotten an estimate?
Teresa hasn't pulled it together yet.
Okay.
So it's going to take a little time.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so we've got and then we'll do the catering permit last. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 adds and 2 deletions. The adds, the further actions on zoning, CD renewal, the repeater, the catering permit, and then the 2 deletions are HR follow-up and the passive grant. Need a motion to approve changes to the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We have to do the...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, we need to do a roll call vote. Emily, roll call vote.
Aye.
Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott? Aye. Motion passes. Okay, moving on to agenda items. Ellen, are you got the CD information for us? If you're back there. Emily says there's a CD up for renewal. Is that in the packet?
It is not in the packet.
Okay.
Did I put something in your box, Steve, for that? Or did I not? That was something else. So there's a highway vehicle CD coming up at Bar Harbor, and Emily was trying to figure out which CDs to cash in order to have enough money for the trucks. And so what we talked about today was there are 3 small CDs at Mascoma and 2 small CDs at Mascoma, 1 at Members Advantage, 2 large ones at Bar Harbor. But with the amount that's in next year's budget, which is another $73,100, I think, if we use that and the small CDs, and about $20,000 taken out of this one that comes due next week, that would give her about $250,000, and she would roll over the remainder of that, which would be about $85,000, plus $111,000 in another CD, so you'd almost have $200,000 in the vehicle reserve after setting aside enough money for the trucks.
Okay, so we should lay all this out in terms of which ones we need to... But basically... if I hear that right, there are 3 or?
There are 3. Total 5.
Total 5. But
I have it written down in the email.
Let's get the specific.
What's the projected delivery date on those trucks?
It's going to be my next question.
It seemed like one was July, August, and the other one is September, October, somewhere in there.
And they don't need payment until delivery?
The reason for doing most of this CD is because it's a larger amount of money, and we can get a better if we go more 3 months or 6 months. A special 9-month rate that Ellen found that would get us a higher interest rate. So if we don't need the money until after the 1st of July, I thought we didn't, that can actually make the payments for the truck and renew this one in a larger amount and at a better interest rate. If we take out only the $20,000 that we need.
So we need around 250, Courtney, the, so I don't know if you have this. Oh, it sounds like you must have the email already, Emily.
Yes, I can pull it up if you would like.
Yeah, just as long as you can follow along. So, 250 we need total. And then utilizing this year's appropriation for the vehicle reserve. And then, just reading through this. There's the one at MACCU for 27.5 that matures in June 1. And then one at Mascoma for 6,700.
60,700. Oh, okay.
Yeah, is that right? Am I reading this right? Yeah. And so with that, those three amounts combined, 73,100, 27,500, and 60,700 comes to 234,400.
And with the 20,000, that would make 254, which will pay for both trucks.
Right, Bar Harbor on February 19th. Okay, so that all makes sense. And then you're saying, Emily, then renew the other one for Bar Harbor, which is about 111.
So the one that's coming due next week, I would renew at Mascoma to get a higher interest rate, and that would be for 9 months. And then there is another one, I think that it's already been renewed. I think it might come up in June or July.
So you're saying the one at Bar Harbor that comes up on February 19th for 20,000?
For, it's more than 100,000. We'll take about 20,000 from it, so it will be renewed for about $80,000.
Okay.
And that would go out for 9 months from now. And then there's another CD that renewed earlier this fiscal year that was a one-year CD. So you'd have, and that's about $111,000, I believe. So between those two, you'd have nearly $200,000 in CDs.
Okay, so the only action we need to decide on tonight is that renewal
right.
for the Bar Harbor at $80,000.
Right.
Okay.
You could also ask Helen to put the $20,000 in a six-month vehicle, investment vehicle, and you would still be drawing better interest than you are in checking account, and it would still come due the 1st of July or the 10th of July.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I would make the motion to say that we reinvest $80,000 approximately of the CD coming due in a one-year, or I guess it was a nine-month instrument, wasn't it, Ellen?
Yes.
That had the best rate?
Yes.
And then $20,000 in a six-month renewal time so that we could have it available for us.
Okay. So we've got a motion.
Second. I seconded it.
Okay.
Moved.
Emily moved.
Okay.
Frank seconded. Roll call vote. Emily?
Aye.
Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
For the April store.
Steve? Aye. And Scott? Aye. Thanks, Ellen. Okay. Moving on to road foreman's report.
We got to approve the minutes.
Oh yeah, sorry. We got our warrants, and we have got a couple of warrants. Minutes. So first thing is to approve a slew of minutes. We've got the 8th. We've got the 8th minutes from the zoning ordinance hearing. We've got the 15th and the 21st and the 24th. So we have 4 minutes, batch of minutes up for approval. I had mentioned to Cynthia just before the meeting that I've got some further edits that I'll send you via Word for the 8th.
Thank you.
And just to clarify what those are, is there just, since we're kind of getting into the narrative of who says what during meetings, or some other additional things said in the context of some other comments that need to be in there. So I'll just send those to Cynthia. We actually need to approve those tonight. So we probably need to get them edited in there tonight. If our goal is to approve these minutes tonight.
You want to read them or?
Yeah, so first of all, let me go around though before I jump in. Does anybody have any modifications to minutes from those four dates?
I don't.
No? Okay. All right, so I'll just describe some of the things are small. In the minutes for the 8th, there's just referencing the ZBA as a committee, and it's actually a board. I had made some comments, and I'll just read what I modified in here. Scott Woodward stated that the changes above in reference to Mr. Blackmer's language additions to the zoning ordinance would not be appropriate for the zoning ordinance because the zoning ordinance applies to the public, not between branches of town government. The language Mr. Blackmer suggests is more appropriate for a policy agreement. And that was something I said during the meeting. The other change, which goes with Ben Brickner's changes, I actually, it is important word choice, but I don't think I said compliant. I might have said consistent with the regional plan. I hope I said consistent, but I don't know if I used the word compliant. Yeah, with consistent. And then that goes with Ben's language. I had also talked about industrial uses in the village district versus the rural district. And so Scott Woodward highlighted that the new zoning ordinance is not consistent with the town plan in regard to industrial uses. He mentioned that the town plan allows for and encourages light industrial uses in the South Pomfret Village area and prohibits industrial uses in the rural area. The zoning ordinance reverses what's in the town plan with industrial uses prohibited in the South Pomfret Village area and allowed in the rural district. Scott also mentioned that the sound provision will need to change to accommodate the agreement made with Purple Crown to adopt a townwide sound standard that mirrors the settlement agreement achieved with Purple Crown. So those were comments I had made about the zoning ordinance that weren't in there. So those are the changes.
Thank you.
For the 8th. So, with those changes, what's everybody's preference? You want to approve these in batch in one motion or do them one at a time?
We'll do them all together.
All right. Let's do them all one time. Emily, any thoughts?
Do them all.
Do them all. Okay. So, those are my edits for the 8th. I don't think I have any other edits for the other dates. So with that, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes as modified?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote, Emily?
Yes. Aye.
Frank?
Yep. Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott? Aye. Okay. And we've got warrants for approval. Frank's got them. Do you want to read them off, Frank?
Oh, I can. First one is a check warrant report is 19076 for $39,793.42. The next one is, let me just double check, another warrant, 19080. For a total of $36,560.20. And the payroll warrant 19075 for a total of $11,485.02.
So have a motion to approve warrants 19076, 19080, 19075.
So moved.
Okay. Does everybody want to take a couple of minutes? Emily, have you had a chance to look at them?
I have.
Okay. You're good to go?
Yep.
There's one question I have, and that is on one of the warrants, and I can't tell you which number it is. There was a $1,000 donation for Fast Squad, and Ellen kind of explained that to me. That was a donation that came into the town that is now going out to the Fast Squad, Frank?
Yep. That's my understanding. It was donated through a foundation.
And so, does it go back in the Fast Squad account, or does it go to a checking account that you run, like the fire department or savings account?
Yeah, it'd be best if we sent it to Missy Middleton and did it that way.
So it goes somewhere. It goes. In other words, that has nothing to do with that budgeted amount of $1,000.
Right.
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 I just wanted to clarify that in my mind.
Okay. Yep.
I don't care where it goes, as long as I know where it goes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
The only question I have, and Jim's here tonight, and I'm not meaning to nitpick, I'm just sort of trying to get a gist of what Fastenal, you got general maintenance, two lines of stuff, and then shop supplies, around $800. Just curious what kind of stuff you were getting.
Well, like hose, we had to buy some more hose in there, and that was $3 and something.
Hydraulic hose?
Yeah. Hydraulic hose. So
yep.
That bumps the price up.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not really questioning the price. It's just keeping track of what's going on and stuff. So yeah, thanks. That's the only question I have.
Okay. Any other? Okay. So roll call vote.
Aye.
Aye.
John.
Aye.
Steve.
Aye.
Scott. Aye. Motion carries.
I see in the packet there's a note here from Ellen that the fire department would like us to pay a bill before the next meeting. I don't know whether we should approve that or just how to do that. Apparently it's something that needs to be...
Wait, so it needs to be pre-approved?
Well, I guess the question is, can Ellen send the check before we approve the warrant, because it's not on... That's not on the warrant, right?
It's not on the warrant, because Kevin just brought it to me today. He wanted it to be paid, and so I thought if I could get your approval, I'll go ahead and cut a check and create a warrant and all of that, but I'd be able to send the check out before your next meeting.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah. Ultimately, the money's in their budget, but if they want bills paid on time, they need to get them to us for the date they want to pay. Is
there a due date on that? Date?
Due on receipt. The date on it, though, is 1/10 of 2020, so it's a month ago.
Okay.
It's
fire department.
Is it facility stuff though? No, I mean, is what line item?
I don't know.
In the budget, does it go against? This is basically building key, building locks.
Yes, they replaced the keypads that are on the doors of the two buildings.
Right. Well, there's vehicle maintenance and. We do have a building maintenance line item, I believe.
In the fire department?
In the fire department.
I don't know.
I think so. So let me double check.
Or they could just take it out somewhere else.
I didn't bring it up during budgeting purposes because I didn't want to make a stink. But in the past, when I was on the fire department, it was kind of our unofficial policy of building maintenance other than utilities was paid by the department.
Right. I remember that.
So, you know, there's this, plus they've asked for an alarm system, which I went along with because I feel we're protecting town assets down there, so I feel it's important to have that, but it's kind of a bigger question of who's responsible for what, I guess.
Right.
How much is the bill?
It is $1,663.
And what is the maintenance item?
They bought a new lock and reprogrammed some other combination locks on the building. The one lock was, it's a digital lock, it was $550.
We don't have, I thought we did, but we don't have building maintenance. But I recall the same thing that you recall, John, is that we had, that building kind of, aside from utilities and stuff, that it was. So, I don't know.
We can ask Kevin about it, or we can pay the bill, but if he runs out of money at the end of the year, he runs out of money.
Yep.
And so, it's his choice. If he runs out of money before the end of the year, he's going to have to cough up the rest himself from the fire department's personal finances.
Yeah, right.
So it can either go one way or another, but the end result is he's only going to get the 41,000 or whatever it was that we gave him.
Yeah. Right. To me, there are two issues here. One is, do we want to set a precedent around paying for maintenance costs, building maintenance costs, other than utilities and phone?
I understand that,
yep.
But let's just either we ask him about it and we let the bill slide, or we decide to pay it, or we decide we won't pay it. So let's make up our mind as which way we want to go, and then we'll move on.
Oh, okay. Does somebody want to move that we pre-authorize this before it ends up on the line?
Yeah, I'll do that, yes. Let's just move this along.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion on this? Okay. Roll call vote, Emily?
Aye.
Frank?
Aye.
John?
No.
Steve?
Aye.
I'm going to vote nay.
What's the amount?
$1,063.25. Okay, motion carries 3-2. Okay, I think that wraps up finances for tonight. Any other?
Just need to make sure everybody signs them.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Frank.
What do you got for the first one, Jim? Because I.
Okay.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you. I assume you're going to start with the garage doors.
Yep.
They're pretty banged up, right?
They are. And actually, this year, they came over and went through it and broke that all up.
Is that an email message?
What's that?
Is that an email message?
Yep. Yep.
That went out with you.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a check. It's a checklist of things that got to be done.
Is it kind of the same stuff we've been dealing with for a while? Like,
yeah.
Repairing the boards that get dinged up.
There's some boards on there, but the doors are just. I mean, every year they got to come in because just the way the building is, the way the building moves. And they shuck around, and we've had one of them that keeps popping off the track, and before somebody gets hurt, you know, up and down or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Well, the biggest thing is losing all the heat out of them.
Yep.
You dink, and so this is one of the things that I never got to when I was road commissioner that I wanted to, which was to actually put in three brand new doors and take out the passage door, put the passage door in one of the overhead doors, and then give the guys, because they'll give you each bay another foot or another door, because I know how close it is to, and John does too, how close it is to getting them in and out, and why you don't hit them every time is beyond me. I would. So I know we got to get this stuff sort of fixed up. I got an estimate. I'd have to look back through my stuff. But it may be something that I would maybe look to resurrect again. I think the big question was we had to get somebody in to come in and evaluate what the header over the doors looks like.
Right.
And we never got that done. But this sort of re-raises this question of this whole door business.
But, $1,500 for everything. Yeah, I'm not inclined to get that done. The rest of it's going to be a bigger project. We'd probably be making longer headers to go in there, is my guess. They stop at the post.
Yeah.
Part of, we had talked about 3-4 years ago that it would basically be about $2,500 a year to do whatever needs to be done for those doors. So somewhere in our budget should be roughly somewhere in that building maintenance amount should be like $2,500 just to, because we know those boards are getting dinged up, and it was going to take, every year it was going to take some repairs.
Yeah.
So that would seem to be pretty consistent with what our expectations are. But yeah, there's that longer term issue around what are we going to do.
Yeah. Well, I know when they get torqued out of shape, then they don't shut right, and it's costing us heat and stuff. So I'm not against getting them fixed. I'm just re-raising the issue that we ought to think about getting those doors completely changed. Mm-hmm. I'll look and see what my... I got an estimate from overhead door what the doors themselves would cost a year or two ago. So I don't know if you want to make it a motion or just
have
Jimmy
go ahead.
Yeah,
just to
go ahead
and get this done.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So somebody want to make a motion? Emily, I don't know. Hang on a second. Emily, have you seen this email yet?
Jimmy sent it to me. I sent it to you because it was over $1,000. I thought you ought to talk about it. And so I'm in favor of getting it fixed. I'll move that we let Jimmy get the doors so that they'll run properly. If you'd like me to do that.
Second.
Okay, so we've got a motion and a second. Roll call vote. Frank, Emily?
Yes.
Frank?
Yep.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott? Aye. Motion carries.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim.
And then the other thing I do, since I were talking about the building, I think we really need to obtain somehow on being able to get somebody in there, fasten some of them clapboards down on the outside of that building and paint it.
I've got somebody, Jimmy, coming. I just saw him again today, and he's going to come and look at the building. And I've got a painter guy that's going to come give us a recommendation or an estimate, and I'll get another couple people in there as well.
Perfect.
So we can get that stuff this summer.
Thank you. Perfect.
Cool.
And then the other thing that I've been trying to do is get permission from people to cut some trees, cut off the top of the ledge and stuff up on Howe Hill. A lot of that is on Robbins's, and I think we're going to get the okay to do it. I just haven't connected yet with Greg. He has tried to call me twice, and I've swung by twice, but I marked them out. And then I had Green Mountain Power. I got called Green Mountain Power and had them come in, and they agreed to remove 13 or 14 of the trees, and three of them on Howe Hill, and then a bunch of them just above the town garage down to there. They marked them. And actually, I didn't meet with CB, I met with New England Tree Company. So I called Cy about them, and me and Cy have already rode around and looked at some of the trees, and I guess I talked to Cy again yesterday, and he said him and Alan are going to get together Saturday and try to work something up so we can get an RFP or something that put together for some of these other trees. Because some of the trees on Howe Hill that I had marked for CB, they said no, they won't do it. So the tree company said no, that they wouldn't go along with doing that. So there are trees there that I'm uncomfortable doing myself that I'll have to go and take a look at.
Good.
I don't think it's so much an issue on Howe Hill, but I mean, aside the whole shade tree rules and all that, but I don't think you're really going to bump into that with
No. And actually, we went down, I started on the north end, and I just went up, coming up through there, marked a lot of the dead trees and everything, and I believe I was somewhere right around, we got to root tunnels, and I think I had almost 80 just in there, strictly dead trees.
Wow, really? Holy cow.
So I'm in there, and that's the thing, it's loaded with them, so I made it to that point, and then I just said aside, when we talked, I've had a lot of inquiries about some of them dead ones down around the south end down there, there's big clusters of elms and stuff like that, and so I mentioned that to him, and he said, alright, so what's priority, and I kind of put some of that on priority, whether we get to it or somebody else gets to it first, it's going to get done.
Yep. We talked about this a while ago. Not that this is necessarily something we should follow, but I don't know if you heard what happened and what they did in Northfield 3-4 years ago. They hired a company to come in and cut, and the deal was that they got to take the wood. And so that's what made it profitable for them to come in and do a bunch of roadside cutting. It actually worked out great in Northfield. But the problem is that they didn't get the landowner's permission to keep the wood before they did it. And so that's one of those things that if we cut a live tree, it belongs to the property.
Yeah, even like the dead trees, up there on Robbins's and Emily's and all the way up through there, live or dead, they want the wood, they get the wood first, you know?
Yeah, right. I remember we talked about this, and as a matter of deference, you can always offer even the dead stuff up. If they want it, they can keep it.
But. So, and then we did get up on Wild Apple Road. I knew that all that stuff nobody would want because it was busted up Widowmakers. So we spent a day up there, yesterday, the day before, me and Justin did. I cut a bunch of them old Widowmakers down, dead stuff down. We're just going to go back now with the excavator. And there's some of them that Kevin had mentioned, the blocks down in the brook and stuff. We're going to get them just about.
Okay. Any others? Ready for this one?
Working on it. Yeah, it should be. Ready for having them being, yes, I should say.
Anything
other than that, that's good. No, that's it for me. He's got something
going. Emily, you got anything before leaving off road foreman's report?
Jimmy's getting in the last of the sand that we have bargained for, and watching that, and we're hoping that's going to make us till mud season. But we're hopeful, but there's no guarantees. So we've about exhausted our sand budget, and if indeed that happens, we'll have to cut into hard pack or something like that. So just be forewarned that when it's gone, it's gone. I told him to get in what we had bargained for money-wise, and then hopefully we'll make it.
Okay.
Is that brown sand?
No. The brown sand is all there. Now it's the 3/8.
Okay. All right.
The brown sand that got bought last year or this year, whatever that came out, it's the 2100 yard. That's gone. Been gone. So we're feeding off from a surplus pile down there essentially. Every day that we're other than the 3/8 zone. Yep. So the brown sand that's going now is a surplus sand.
Okay. I've gotten good feedback on the mixing.
I actually went today, and then oddly enough, Tom Barron called me, Jeff over there, and wanted to know what the deal was with what we were putting on the road. So
Yeah, it's hanging on pretty good.
Yeah, it's working good.
Good. All right, anything else?
Not for me.
Okay, all right, thank you. Neil, you're up. Oh, sorry, repeater is next.
So they came and did the repeater Thursday, reprogrammed all the radios. I'm getting a hold of a couple more frequencies. I'm going to have them come back once I get them reprogrammed. Just the town radios. All of the fire department fast squad radios have the town repeater, as well as some reorganizing that Kevin and Frank wanted with their radios. But I'm trying to get... I've got... Barnard's frequencies, but not their which order they go in for send and receive. And I have Sharon's frequencies. And so we'll have them program the radios, and then the crew can talk to the bordering towns, especially when they do the project up here, and then any other time they might need to. And then there was one radio that was old that they couldn't reprogram. And so I got a quote of... which I didn't send out, but I got a quote of $499 to replace that. So if that's something that we want to approve in addition to what was we did before, although they didn't use up all of their hours, so they come out close in the wash anyways, but to replace the one radio in the town truck that they couldn't reprogram. And then they can put that in when they come and do the town radio again.
Oh, yeah. Couple hours. Definitely need to get that truck one. Yeah. Which truck is it, do you know?
Truck
three.
Yeah, we definitely need to
so get it's not up right now, or they just couldn't reprogram it?
They couldn't reprogram those.
Does that mean it's not up?
Correct.
Okay. So we need to get that going.
Yeah, but they can carry a portable and maybe hit the repeater so it isn't like they're dead in the water.
Yeah.
So do we need to add that to our items for the vendor?
Yeah.
I mean, can they buy it for it, or do we need to go...
They stock them there. Yeah, it's just a matter of programming and putting it in.
Okay.
But they've got them.
So we should add that to... I think we should probably have a motion to add that to our purchase list. So what's the amount on that, Jeff? For what?
Let me just see if I can pull up the exact amount.
$500 to put a new radio in truck 3.
$499 even. It's a list for $618.33. They said it offered to us for $499.
Okay.
Second.
Motion is seconded. Roll call vote. Emily?
Aye.
Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott? Aye. Motion carries. All right. Moving on, Neil, you're up.
Do you have that certificate?
I do. So
self-explanatory.
Okay, so I have in front of me from the listers two documents. One is an errors and omission certificate. The other is titled Certificate No Appeal or Suit Pending. And we need to sign both documents and get them to Becky, right? And this is a correction of homestead acreage. Is that right? From 4 acres to 2.75. The property owner of Rand on they're on the They're down on
Broadbrook.
On Broadbrook, right. And so this, I'll pass it around to everybody. Emily, have you had a chance to see this yet, or are you familiar with it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. So the homestead value will go from $127,990 to $117,990, difference of $10,000, with a tax bill difference of $200. And is that it, Neil? Anything? Other details?
That's that one. Yep.
Okay. So that's the nature of the documentation.
We have to all sign them.
We do.
Okay.
So I'll ask for a motion to sign these two documents.
So move.
Right here, a second.
Second.
Emily, the document's getting passed around right now, so we'll see if there's any comments or discussion after that. No. Seems more or less a formality.
Yeah, I sort of knew about this anyway. So.
Okay.
The certificate that deals with no grievances and things, you need that in order to set the tax rate, because the grand list is now set. Nobody has any appeals waiting to be able to change it. So as soon as we get the budget passed, then you can set the tax rate.
Gotcha.
But you could not set it if we had a grievance hanging up.
Got it. Got it. Yeah. Okay.
I'm all set.
Okay.
Do you want to see this, John?
Okay, everybody's good. So I'm going to call for a vote. Emily?
Aye.
Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott? Aye. Motion carries.
Do I need to take that to Emily for signature?
Yeah, we'll sign it. And Emily, I guess, do you need it delivered to you for signature, or...
I'll get up there and sign it in a couple days.
Okay.
Diane can drop me off, or I'll be good to get up there in Friday.
Okay, we'll leave it for you in your inbox.
I'll get it signed Friday morning for Neil. Is that good enough, Neil?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll get up there Friday.
All right. Spot. Next item on the agenda is the structures grant for Cloudland Road. I don't know if... Emily, do you have anything on that?
John is starting to work on that so that we can get that application in. I think it has to be in by the 15th or 20th of April, and he's starting on the work now.
Okay.
Who did?
John Harrington.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't hear that part.
Okay. Any other? So that will be coming to us for approval as soon as he's done. Okay, I think, so the next item is Pomfret Road closures, June 7th, 2020, for the Covered Bridge Half Marathon. Emily, I assume you've got some information on this?
It was in your packet.
Oh, okay, so, all right, so it's in the online packet, okay. All right, so what I have in front of me is a letter from Nancy, I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name, but Nancy. She's the co-race director for the Covered Bridges. And she wrote to request permission to hold the Covered Bridges Half Marathon on Sunday, June 7th at 8:15. Race follows the same course as past years, beginning at Suicide 6, following stage road to Route 12. Certificate of insurance provided with the letter here. Traffic control will be handled by Windsor County Sheriff's deputies and race volunteers. Residents will be notified in advance through signage and newspaper notifications. And she mentioned in the past the road crew has been very helpful in grading River Road. A week or two before the event, when needed, if possible, they would appreciate that again. So it would be, so do we need to put specific times, start and end time on the road closure?
The beginning of the race, so I mean, they're usually...
That's all on the paperwork. It's the very beginning. They usually put signage up to say the road will be closed temporarily.
Yeah, they're usually clear there within 45 minutes by the time the four lights go to the town line.
We just need to approve permission for her to do that.
Okay, so I need a motion.
So move.
Second.
Roll call vote, Emily?
Aye.
Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott? Aye. Motion carries. Okay. So do we need to... do we just need to inform Nancy of the approval, Emily?
No, I'll just write her an email back that she is approved.
Okay. All right.
Nice.
Emily, how the road performance bond, I think that's the next item.
Yes. Sharon, I went to the meeting Monday night, and there were some concerns, and I mentioned it, and they were concerned as well, that we might want a performance bond for some of these individuals that may give us a bid, if indeed give them the bid. Mm-hmm. And so John would like to include in the next addendum language to the effect that we reserve the right to require a performance bond if we so deem necessary. That doesn't mean we have to ask for one, but it gives us the right to ask for one if we feel we should. That would be in our advantage. For Pomfret, that'll cost about $25,000. For Sharon, it will cost more than that. They agreed on Monday that they would have that put in their language, and I would suggest that we do the same.
Okay. So before we dive into any discussion, do you want to propose a motion, Emily?
I can. I move that we add into the language of the next addendum that John will be putting out after the 6th of February that we reserve the right to request a performance bond for the successful bidder if we deem it necessary.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on this? I've got a couple of questions and comments, but other board members.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea if we prevents a company from lowballing us and screwing us over, so to speak.
Yeah, I think, I mean,
it's good protection.
Yeah, a performance bond is usually a good idea. I can't remember. So this would add to our cost, though, not their cost. I always thought the vendors were responsible for...
one way or the other, when they...
They're going to roll it into their bid price. Yeah, right. Do we know? I have to go back and look at the RP again to know what other protections we've got.
We've got a clear guarantee on the surface of the road, but there is no performance bond in there.
Now, the performance bond, the intent is to is it around quality or is it around delivery date, or
it's around getting the job done if the contractor doesn't do it within a time frame or properly, or they just don't get it done at all.
And it's
a bond to ensure that the job will get done.
Right. So they surrender the bond amount if they fail, basically, right? I can't remember exactly how it works.
But, yeah, because it goes to what, a third party, right?
Right, if they hold it.
Yeah.
And if they fail to deliver, then we get to collect the...
That's right. Yeah.
Rather than going through litigation or anything like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other further discussion? Okay, roll call vote. Emily?
Aye.
Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott? Aye. Motion carries.
Okay. I will inform the town select board and John by email.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next, we don't need to like sift through all this tonight, but I thought we'd try and get the wheels turning for
you. Have a good night, Jim.
Yep.
Thanks, Jim. I feel like every year after town meeting, we always kind of look at each other and go, what are we supposed to do after town meeting? And I think some of the things we know, but I think it'd be good to get like a bullet list of like appointments, for example, and signing authority, and all those little things that we need to do to make sure that we get them knocked out. Maybe not the first organizational meeting, but the first couple of meetings after town meeting. So we've got some statutory obligation, but basically the things that I think of right off the top of my head, we've got, aside from board matters, we've got appointments that we have to do, signing authority, what else? Other, I think there's, I had one that was on the tip of my tongue.
You have the appointment. You've got an appointment.
I haven't kept it up to date lately, but we do have a number of appointments that are going to be coming up. And I'm sort of blanking on stuff right now, but basically, maybe the thing to do, I would suggest to the board, is we can do this offline. Like, we don't need to do this in the middle of this meeting. But we can start a little list out on SharePoint or something, and just people can add things as they think of them. And then when we get to the meetings right after town meeting, we'll have a list developed and we'll know exactly what we should be doing. I just want to kind of avoid the head scratching exercise that we tend to go through it. And I think, Frank, you had talked about it some time ago, like the what do we need to do?
Yeah.
Little list. So, all right. So, why don't we get that going? And
yeah, send if you've got something, even if it's just an outline.
Yeah,
I'll problem me to think about.
I'll send it around.
Because one of the things we just, you know, I mean, not a big deal, but our procedures.
Oh, right, our meeting rules of procedure.
Meeting.
Yeah,
I think we pretty much got them fleshed out, but it wouldn't be hard. It wouldn't hurt to get them done.
Yeah. Okay. So that's that.
Should that be on the agenda for the meeting the day after town meeting? For our meeting the day after town meeting?
Yeah, it is. I mean, the agenda, usually the agenda after town meeting is the organizational meeting. So all that stuff would be on that agenda.
Okay.
Okay, next agenda item is the ZBA's request to contact an attorney. Emily, I think you've got some insight on this.
He would like the authority to talk with Joe McLean regarding ZBA hearing and the finding of facts regarding the Kiko General Store. And I really thought that we had given the Zoning Board of Adjustments authority to contact attorney as a general rule anyway, but I put this on there just so that you would know that he was going to do that.
Yeah.
So that you would approve that if you felt, I feel that it's money well spent to get the thing right beforehand, but if you don't feel that that's the case, we'll go to Plan B.
So what we did, just to refresh everybody's memory, is whenever it was, back when the Planning Commission came and needed legal advice on the zoning regs, we expanded the scope of services with Joe and his firm to include all matters related to land use. And that was ostensibly for the Planning Commission, but I don't think it really matters. I think it's really for anybody, whether it's the Select Board or the ZBA or the Planning Commission, who need legal advice on land use matters. So I guess the only thing I would, I don't think there's any concern about them reaching out for advice, but it's more, I wonder whether we should put a dollar amount, like not to exceed a certain amount, or do you have any sense of how much, how involved it is, Emily? Is it like a quick back and forth that we or would it be more involved that we should put some sort of cap on it?
Well, I personally think that if Vegas is, it is my understanding that the hearing did not get adjourned. It is recessed.
Right.
They're asking for more information.
Right.
And then there's the question that they did not notify any of the select board about this hearing, and a good share of the project is in the road right of way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another sticky wicket. I think Ben only had a couple questions to ask Joe, and we had given the zoning board of adjustment back at the last hearing, the last incident that they had a large matter, we had given them approval to ask Joe for service, and I felt that we would do that again, but I would not put a dollar amount on it, because I think that legal advice before you get into a mess is a lot deeper than legal advice that you get after a mess. And I fully realize that we have way overspent the legal budget. But I think that we need to give them the expertise they need to get it right.
Would you like to propose a motion, Emily?
I move that we allow Ben Brecker to contact us on behalf of the Zoning Board of Adjustment, McLean, for legal advice.
Related to the hearing that's been recessed?
Correct.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion?
So Emily, I'm not up to speed. Do you have any more details other than they talked about, I think, probably stairwells on the roadside and then the cantilever deck on the other side?
They do not have any. The permit that I saw last week has no drawings, but they are not there. They want to dig up pavement to the road next to the building on Comfort Road in front of Sean Pickett. They want to put in curbing. They want to put a handicapped parking lot where the door of a car open out into the traveled right of way. They want the cantilever deck. This supposedly is not a change of use, I did not discuss it at length. I looked at the map, and I don't know what additional information the Zoning Board of Adjustment has asked for, but there definitely are some concerns there that need to be addressed.
Okay. Is that information available someplace? Do you know?
The permit is up at the town hall. I do not have any information regarding the hearing. I wrote a letter, which I copied you.
Yep.
But May, that they did not notify there was a hearing, and it was not on the website. I suppose they may reconvene the hearing. That being said, I do not know.
Okay.
I was not there.
Okay. Just quizzing to see what you know.
I will try.
Okay,
any further discussion on the motion? Okay, roll call vote. Emily?
Aye.
Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott? Aye. Motion carries.
I will inform Ben by email that he has authority to contact Joe McLean.
Okay. Great. Next item is approval of a catering permit.
Why don't you do the other zoning matter first?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. The other zoning matter is we need to warn a hearing, correct, for the modifications that were approved.
It is my understanding that the Planning Commission met on Monday, and they have changed some things. And I would suggest before we warn a hearing, that we make sure that we're all on board with the changes that they have made, so that we don't have to warn a third hearing. It's costing us $200 and some odd for every advertisement we put in the standard. So I think you have major concerns I would think that you would reach out to them, or they can reach out to you. I'm not sure. Maybe they already have. And make sure that you're all on the same page before we decide what date we will rewarn a hearing. Because there's no sense in having three.
Right.
I would like to get this zoning thing done at the next hearing and have a document that everyone can be on the on page with, on board with, so that we don't have to go through this a third time.
Okay, did the Planning Commission reach out to you on their, those changes?
They did not reach out to me, but I understood that they had a meeting and that they had changed some things, and because you were the one that had the questions, I thought perhaps you could reach out to them, or they could reach out to you. I thought maybe they were going to reach out to you, but I have been out of town for a day and a half, so I don't really know. And so, but I would suggest that we, whether we have a whole board meet with the Planning Commission, or whether you want to meet with the Planning Commission and bring something back to the board, that would be fine. But so that we get a document that everybody can get on board with, so we can present it to the voters and have a unified front, so to speak, so that we have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted. Now, that's just my personal opinion. If the board feels differently, that's fine, too.
Well, so to me, there are a couple issues here. One is there's a statutory process that has to be followed when the zoning regs are changed. So I'm totally fine. And at this point, it's a board matter. It's not a Scott Woodward matter. We as a board approved the changes the last time this was came up. So now it's a board
matter. There were other questions, Scott, that you had in disagreement that you had that we as a board, nor did you and the commission agree about. And some of that had to do with the light industrial use, and it also the heavy industrial use, and the concern that it was in South Pomfret, or it did not agree with the town plan. Those were not settled, and so those have got to be settled before the board can go. Those were your questions, and you and the Planning Commission have got to work those out.
I disagree, Emily. They are not. I raised the issues, but they are not my questions. The board...
Your questions, Scott. You asked them, and they were your concerns.
So, Emily, I raised the issues, but I also, we as a board unanimously approved modifications to the zoning ordinance. So there is a statutory process that has to be followed. And I'm all in favor of not having to do duplicative hearings. But at this point, because the board has unanimously approved modifications to the zoning ordinance, we've got to go through that statutory process of how to handle those changes.
This is also, at the end of the meeting, I believe we said there were some other things that we might change. We changed the ones that you had to do with the noise level, but we did not change everything that you had a disagreement with.
That's not true, Emily. I only had three changes, and they were all approved.
That is correct, but there were other questions that were raised, and we might as well get those settled before we have a hearing.
I'm not disagreeing with you, Emily, but I don't have any other questions. I'm done. The changes
you're
that...
You're happy with the way the industrial stuff and everything else goes?
That's done. We voted and approved the changes. In other words... The select board voted on modifications to the zoning ordinances. Those changes passed. Those changes now go back to the Planning Commission.
And so, the question is, did they incorporate them?
And the Planning Commission, there's a statutory process that has to be followed once those changes are made. The Planning Commission, and I'm not well versed on it, but basically I understand that the Planning Commission is supposed to draft a letter back to us, basically stating whatever their position is on the modifications that we approved. That's how I understand the process.
Well, then I will contact the Planning Commission and tell them that we're expecting a letter.
Yeah, that is the statutory process. And I personally don't have any other suggested changes besides the three that we voted on and approved.
Well, then we'll get a letter from them, and then we can go from there. But we can't schedule a hearing until we get that letter.
Right. I mean, again, if we're going to go through more discussions and more deliberations and more possible changes, I agree with you that we should get that all done before we hold another hearing.
So, Emily, do you know if the Planning Commission has something published with the changes?
I do not know. I will write an email and get an answer for that before our next regular meeting.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Okay, next agenda item is approving a catering permit request from American Craft Spirits, doing business at Silo Distillery. They are doing a gallery opening event exhibit at Artistry on Friday, February 28th from 5:30 to 8:30. Approximately 75 people are expected to be in attendance. By the looks of the catering application, it conforms with all our... There's nothing unusual about it. So, with that, do I hear a motion to approve this catering plan?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, roll call vote. Emily?
Aye.
Frank?
Aye.
John?
Aye.
Steve?
Aye.
Scott? Aye. Motion carries. And I'm just going to check it as approved. Okay. I think that, unless there's anything else that I missed, I think that concludes our business items. I do have, I'll address it under Select Board correspondence since it did emanate from correspondence from State of Vermont on, but we, just to apprise the board, I relayed over email that we have been selected to be submitted to an audit for DR 4330, which was the storm event in July 2017,
July 1st.
That we were reimbursed for last year. And so I sat with, up at the Department of Public Safety, I sat with them for a couple of hours today, and we went through their audit checklist. So the short summary of it is we won't know whether we passed or failed until they're finished doing their write-up. Basically, what they're going to present back to us is those areas where we're not in compliance with certain things, areas where we are in compliance, and then areas where maybe we are or are not following best practice, and they'll give us some kind of, you know, advice that we can choose to follow or not. Mm-hmm. And I owe some documents back to them, like payroll records, employer ID number, I owe them some backup data, stuff that we actually had already provided to FEMA way back when. The state wants that same information, so it's not new data. We should get a letter back from the state, maybe on the, he said maybe on the 12th of February. So a week from now, and we would have 45 days from that letter, from receipt of that letter, to respond to whatever is in their write-up. So we have to get together and decide how we want to respond to that letter. I don't expect it's going to be a big deal. I will tell you that he gave us gave us a heads up that we are going to have to change a couple of things. So one of them is our conflict of interest policy. We'll have to go through some changes. There's some language changes that have to be made. And I can say more about that later, but the upshot of it is that, Frank, you're probably familiar with this in your experiences with the federal government, but there are some pretty strict federal requirements, and the upshot was that basically federal, if you want to get money from the federal government, you have to comply with their conflict of interest parameters, period. Like, there's no wiggle room. You have to have the language that they stipulate in law around conflict of interest has to be in our conflict of interest policy, or else we run the risk of not getting federal funding. So that was one thing, is that it got pointed out that we have some language changes. But he also pointed out that we're not alone, that a lot of towns are in the same predicament with their conflict of interest policy.
But we have a conflict of interest policy.
But we have one. We just need to modify it.
Okay.
The other is that we don't have a payroll policy, and he said that's another one that the federal government's gonna, we potentially run the risk of not getting federal funding without a payroll policy. On the good side, he said our procurement policy is actually really good. He said it's got some of the magic language in there around federal procurements. So we got some kudos on our procurement policy. So I don't know what to expect, but I don't think we'll get dinged that hard. We'll have some policy adjustments to do as a result of this, I think. But that letter should be forthcoming in the next week. Okay. Emily, anything correspondence-wise?
No.
Okay. So, quick review of assignments. I don't know if you wrote any down, Cindy. Emily, I think you got most of the action items. I think you're going to contact John about the performance bond, right?
Yep.
You're going to notify Nancy about approving the road closure for covered bridges. I'm going to start a list for things we need to do after town meeting. Emily, you're going to inform Ben on the ZBA legal advice.
Yep.
And catering permit, you've got that, and we can hand that out to Becky.
Great.
So that will close the loop on that. Did I miss any? No, and John, you're going to follow up on the radio.
Yeah.
And I think that does it for assignments and action items.
On the next agenda, Cindy?
Yes?
We should put on, at the beginning of the meeting, questions regarding the town report. Kevin Geiger will come for us.
Oh, that's right.
And so rather than do all the business items first, we might put that pre-town meeting question and answer period first on the agenda, and then go through the rest of the stuff after, if people don't care to stay for that, if anyone comes at all.
Okay.
All right. Any other? I think that's it for our meeting wrap up on this. Any alibis? All right. So I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Emily.
Aye.
Frank. Aye. John.
Aye.
Steve.
Aye.
Scott. Aye. We are adjourned. Thanks, Emily. Happy healing.
Yep.